Jesus said, not all who come to me and say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a bothersome verse. Has that ever bothered you? Bothers me. It bothers me about me. It bothers me about you. Because I'm not sure you're going to heaven. And you can't be totally sure about me going to heaven. Or that I'm a Christian, or I mean business, or the things that I say, or the things that I do, or the things I say I believe in, I truly live it out. And that's a struggle we all have. It's because we have sinful natures. And that's why Jesus and John the Baptist came preaching a message of freedom and how you could have success in the world and how you could be happy and you didn't have to suffer any tears and you didn't have to go through pain. You buying all that? Now, that's not the message they preached. There is being preached, but not by them. What they preached is a message of repentance, a message of brokenness. When the Pharisees came out to see John the Baptist, he looked at him and he pointed that finger at him and he said, who told you hypocrites to flee from the wrath to come? You go and do the deeds that keep with repentance and then come back and ask to be baptized. So he wasn't putting up with that. He wasn't going to let them buy with that. We let everybody buy today that says that they prayed a prayer and they asked Jesus into their heart, and so they're Christians. And if you check up on how they're living and what they're doing and what the fruit of their tree is, Jesus said in Matthew 7, you'll know them by their fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. But a bad tree can make you think it's good fruit. But if you define fruit as what you do rather than who you are. It's not about what you do. It's not about all the activities. I mean, Phil's a great guy. And going to Israel is a great ministry, as all the ministries that are represented in here are. But that doesn't mean that you're a Christian. You can go on mission trips and not be a Christian. You can read your Bible and not be a Christian. Go to church every Sunday and not be a Christian. That was me for 22 years. I went to church pretty much every Sunday until I got to college. And then when it was my choice, a little hungover too on Sunday morning, then I didn't go so much. But you can do so many things that are Christian looking and Christian like and not be Christian. And discover, and that's going to be the worst part of the second coming of Jesus Christ. When he comes and settles it all, when he comes and sits and reigns at the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, the white throne judgment where he separates the believers from unbelievers, the sheep from the goats. And the worst thing about it is there's so many that think they are that are not. Not all who come to me and say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And so I wanted to draw your attention this morning to a passage in Luke 7, which I think addresses this issue pretty well. Starting with verse 36, now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. You know, in those days, they didn't sit at the table in chairs like we do. They reclined. They leaned on an elbow. Their feet were flat out behind them, and they ate with one hand like that at the table. And it goes on to say, and there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. Now, this woman was a bad woman. She was a prostitute. And it was a great picture here and scene here of Jesus teaching Simon the Pharisee something. And standing behind him at his feet. And that means he was reclined. His feet were sticking out. And now in these days, when a rabbi came to eat at someone's home and were invited to come in, then lots of other people came too. They didn't come to eat. They came to hear the pearls of wisdom that that rabbi would be sharing. And so they just came and stood around while they were eating to hear the conversation and what was going on. And that's what she was doing. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping. I want you to picture this. Picture the salvation of Jesus Christ. Picture those who are ashamed and guilty and embedded in mourning over their sin. And that's what this woman was doing. And she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. Have you ever felt that grateful to Jesus Christ for your sin and forgiveness? Have you ever repented to the point where tears were coming? When I was growing up in the Baptist church, I used to see people coming down front at the invitation or the altar call, and they would just be crying and weeping. And I wondered what that was all about. I knew they were emotional, and this was an emotional moment in their life, but I didn't make the connection between repentance of sin and their emotion. I do now. Jesus connected the dots. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him in verse 39 saw this, he said to himself, he was thinking this, he didn't say it out loud. If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she's a sinner. In other words, if this guy was really a prophet, the way we'd know he is a prophet is he wouldn't let this unclean prostitute touch him and kiss his feet and dry his feet with her hair. He wouldn't let that happen. There's another thing here, this prostitute. In those days, a woman did never had her hair hang down. She always had it up. Once she got married, she always had it up. Her hair was down. Now when Pharisee who had invited him saw this, so the Pharisees invited him into his house. Now why would he do that in the first place? Why would the Pharisee invite him in? Well, Pharisees invited Jesus to do things. One of the things that they did on several occasions was so they could catch him, find something to accuse him, find something to get rid of him, to kill him. Could have been the reason. Could have been that he really was a sympathizer of Jesus, and he was really interested in his message. But because of what we're going to read after that, what Jesus said to Simon, I'm doubtful that that was the reason he invited him in. And Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Now, if Jesus says, Frank, I got something to say to you, how do you feel about that, Frank? You're not feeling too good, right? Yeah, when Susan said, we need to talk, I never felt good about that. I didn't think something good was coming. And I didn't know that I could defend myself either. She was probably right about whatever she was about to say. Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, well, say it, teacher. A money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Now, when they were unable to pay, he graciously forgave them both. And here's a question. Which one will love him more? One had 50, one had 500. They both were forgiven their debt. Which one would love him more? And his answer, Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you've judged correctly. Now turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, you see this woman over here? Now I entered your house, you gave me no water. Now there are three things that always happened when a guest would come to your house for a meal. One, you would get the cool water out because all they had for shoes was soles with some straps around your feet. So they weren't wearing shoes that covered their feet, so their feet got pretty dirty. And then the other thing they did is they would give them a kiss. It would be that hand on the shoulder and a kiss of welcome and love. And the third thing they would do, they would anoint their head with some kind of sweet-smelling perfume or nectar. And so Jesus says to them, Simon, do you see the woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she was wet. She has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Guys, this is a big deal. Salvation's a big deal. Forgiveness is a big deal. But you know what preempts all of that is repentance. Simon thought he was a good man. Simon was a cultural Christian. In his culture of religion, as we would call a cultural Christian today, he was a good guy. He did all the right things, didn't do the things he wasn't supposed to do. He kept the Pharisaical laws, some 200 or 300 of them. He kept the Ten Commandments best he could, and he compared himself to all these other people, the rabble out there. He was a good guy. He gave himself a good grade. But Jesus wasn't giving him too good a grade here. Those who were reclining at table with him were saying to themselves, who's this man who even forgives sins? And then he looked at the woman and said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. How do you know a guy's really saved? How do you know you're really saved? How do you know that you didn't just pray a prayer? And I think one of the things we do in salvation today is we ask people if they want to pray a prayer and ask Jesus into their heart. Now, a lot of those people really do ask Jesus into their heart. Susan did. Susan, when I came to know Jesus, she married me because I changed so much and I wasn't such a wild man. That's one of my guesses. She and I never really even talked about that. But I'm guessing that's why she married me, or why she asked me to marry her. She's not here to defend herself, so I'll just say whatever I want to. I was asked to give my testimony, being a ball player. The pastor of our church, Big Baptist Church, asked me to give my testimony one morning in church. I said I had 5 minutes. That was the night before I was preparing for the testimony. And I'd never done it before. And I had a 4 spiritual law booklet that he had given us. They just came out with that, Bill Bright had. And so I was getting some scripture out of that 4 laws, and I was going to use them in my testimony. And Susan comes walking through, and she saw the bundled up paper on the floor where I'd started and tear it up and throw it on the floor, and I'd start and tear it up and throw it on the floor. And she says, well, is there anything I can do to help? Now, I'd noticed that Susan didn't really click in with this whole Bible. She was all for it. She had no problem against it. But Susan was like Simon, and she would agree with this. She was a good girl. And compared to me, she was in heaven with 5 stars. She kept all the rules. She pleased her mom and dad. She studied and made good grades. She was moral. She was good. Her friends used to kid about her. She's almost perfect in every way. Because that's the kind of girl she was. She could see how I needed Christ. She just couldn't see how she needed Christ compared to me. And so I set her down and I said, well, let me go through this thing with you. Now, the Lord just prompted me to do that because I knew there was something missing in her get along spiritually. And so I went through the 4 spiritual laws. And then at the end of the 4 spiritual laws, there's a question. I don't know if it's still in the 4 laws today, but I loved it. And the question is this, is there any reason why you wouldn't want to receive Jesus Christ into your heart right now? Now, I love that question because when people start shucking and jiving, you make them shuck and jive a little bit. You find out what their issue is, what's keeping them out of the kingdom, what they're holding on to they don't want to let go of. And then you can address that. So I asked Susan the question. I read the question to her, and she said, is there any reason? And she said, no. Then right after that, there's a sinner's prayer. And I led her in the sinner's prayer. The next day after I gave my testimony, Bill Bright was actually speaking in our church, which made me a little nervous. to be on the same stage with him. After the sermon, they had an altar call, and Susan came forward to receive Christ. I thought, I was powerful. Bill Bright was powerful. Now the Lord was powerful. Now Susan prayed a prayer, and I don't know where repentance worked into that prayer with her, but somehow she realized that she needed a Savior. Somehow she realized she needed to be forgiven. Not as much as I did, but as much as she did. Now, I think the missing element in guys coming to know Jesus Christ is repentance. A lot of people pray prayers, but they're not sorry and weeping and kissing Jesus' feet because they're so forgiven. Because they haven't been forgiven much. They didn't see their sin. We can get hardened towards sin in our life. We can just let sin go. We can give it a pass. That's not that big a deal. When you're a cultural Christian, you do a lot of things that aren't biblical, aren't Christ-like, and aren't Holy Spirit-led. They're cultural. They're good things, maybe. They're things that nothing wrong with doing them, but they're not going to get you saved. You're not going to be a Christian because you did those things. We're saved by grace through faith. Grace is unmerited favor that you realize you don't deserve. Have you ever really come to that place in your life where you realize you don't deserve to be forgiven? And you've tried to be a good guy. You've tried to keep the rules. You've tried to do the 5, the 10 questions on that little envelope they'd give me in the 4th grade when I was 10 years old at Sunday school. Have you read your Bible? Have you owned your own time today? All the things that were good things. Did you call or visit someone this week? Are you going to put any money in this envelope? And so I was striking out on just about every one. That was a works-based view toward being a Christian and becoming a Christian. And that's where most guys come from. They look at Christianity as a bunch of do's and don'ts. And that's why a lot of guys don't want to become Christians. But this woman, she found out it wasn't do's and don'ts. It was a relationship of love and compassion and graciousness on the part of Jesus to forgive this woman. And you couldn't have brought a worse woman in the door that evening to that meal than this woman. And for Jesus, in the presence of Pharisees and really good people, forgave her sin. And it broke her. She was broken over sin. She was weeping over her sin. When's the last time you wept over your sin? When's the last time you wept not because you committed it? You know, most of us, we don't get upset because we did something wrong. We get upset when we get caught doing something wrong. But doing the wrong deed, doing the sin, breaking the rules, didn't really bother us that much. And we can become hardened to the sin in our life. You know the remedy for that? Get in God's presence. When Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, got in God's presence, he was flat on his face. And his words were, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips." When's the last time you said, "Woe is me"? I know you've been defeated because you're trying to beat sin and make sin, you know, go away in your life, and you got that sin or two or three that just keeps nagging at you and coming back, and you just keep confessing it. And you're hearing that voice from the devil saying, "God doesn't want to hear that anymore. He knows you don't mean business. You're just going to go do it again." You ever heard that one? Well, if you hadn't really truly gotten close to repentance. You haven't really been dealing with your sin. When's the last time you can remember confessing a sin before the Lord? "Lord, that was sin. I thought that. I said that. I did that. I shouldn't have done that. I asked you to help me. I asked you to forgive me. Give me strength to fight this battle and win in your name." When's the last time you prayed a prayer like that? Are you fighting the sin in your life? Are you fighting it not because you can't? Look, guys, you'll never beat sin by focusing on sin. Get in God's presence and focus on God. God will beat the sin. He's already taken care of it in your life. You couldn't forgive yourself. You couldn't make the sin go away. You couldn't do anything to fix yourself, deliver yourself, save yourself, get yourself forgiven. You can't do it. Sin is a problem only Jesus Christ can fill. Sin is a problem only Christ's blood can cleanse by grace through faith in that blood and that blood alone. Jesus and Him alone. Grace and grace alone. And that's what salvation's all about. And we're not excited about Jesus Christ. We're not excited about serving. We're not excited about what praying for revival, praying for the souls of men and women, our family and our grandchildren, when we're not excited about our own forgiveness. When's the last time you got really excited about thinking about, you know, I'm going to stand at the great white throne judgment one day, and He's going to say, enter the joy of your master. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm not going to have to face hell. I'm not going to have to spend there. One of the things that would help us the most here, if God gave us 30 seconds in hell. And we got to see what we're missing. We got to see what we're not going to have to be in for the rest of eternity. And then if He would give us a view of paradise, it's not Newport Beach. It's not Bel Air. It's heaven and paradise. And what He's given us that we couldn't earn. It's a gift of God, not that anyone, so that no one can boast. God's given us salvation and forgiveness and freedom and deliverance. And He said, I no longer call you servants, I call you my friend. So we're a friend of Jesus Christ who saved us and forgave us. But guys, we need to work on this. We need to work on being hardened and having a hard heart toward our sin. It doesn't move us anymore. We've given in to it. We compromise with it. We make peace treaties with the devil over it. And He's calling us to repent every day. We had to repent to come to know Jesus Christ, and it needs to be a lifestyle of repentance. Fessum is you does them. As soon as the Holy Spirit holds up the standard of righteousness of Jesus Christ, turn the other cheek, go the second mile, bless those who persecute you, take care of the widows and the orphans, give to those who ask, and don't expect to be paid back in return. Bless those who persecute you. The righteousness of Jesus Christ, the character of Christ, so that when we don't turn the other cheek, and we don't go the second mile, and we aren't patient, and we're irritable, and we're calling the guy in the car that just cut you off names. Confess that to the Lord. Lord, I need patience on this freeway. I need patience with my wife. God, I was just irritable and mad and upset, and it's just because of my ego and my pride. Deal with the issue. Name it before the Lord. Claim it as forgiven. Look to Him to conquer the sin in your life. You cannot conquer it. You'll never be able to conquer the sin in your life. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Pray without ceasing. Well, what are you going to pray without ceasing? Pray a lot. There's a lot to pray for. But one of the things we need to pray without ceasing about is our sin. You're forgiven for all your sin if you're truly a believer. If you know that you know Jesus Christ, that sin is forgiven, put far behind Him as the east is from the west. But just like wife, you made vows when you married your wife. How you been doing on that? How's that working out for you? I'll be there for you. Are you there for her? I'll try to understand you as my life partner. Have you really done that? In good times and bad, in rich times and poor, in sickness and in health. How you doing on that? Are you there in sick times and poor times and bad times? Have you fulfilled your vows to your wife? And God says in Ecclesiastes, don't make a vow if you're not going to keep it. God takes no pleasure in fools. So you're better off not making a vow than making a vow and not keeping it, according to God. Now there's grace where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Can I get a hallelujah from the congregation? We got to be grateful and thankful for our salvation, excited that Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Lord. And we have a God who's a forgiving God and a gracious God and a compassionate God. But today I want you to go out there and I just today, give it a shot. Pray without ceasing. When you sin by word or mouth or thought or deed, Confess that sin to the Lord. If you'll confess your sin, 1 John 1:9, I'll be faithful and righteous to forgive your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If you'll confess, if you'll repent, if you'll agree with me, if you'll get on my side against yourself, that you're a sinner, that was wrong. And His commitment is that He's going to make it right in your heart and life. So guys, I'm going to have a moment of silence. I want you to just bow your head and ask the Lord to do whatever's on your heart right now in regard to He who's forgiven much, loves much. Father, we have fellowship with You through the Spirit. We have fellowship with You through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You've said if we walk in the light as You're in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another and fellowship with You. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, will purify us from all sin. And so, Lord, that's what we ask today. I ask if there's a man in this room today who's not sure, he's not really sure that he's repented of his sins, that he's agreed with You that he's a sinner, not just to want to go to heaven, but to want to be right with You, in fellowship with You, a friend of Jesus. And Lord, if we're going to be used, blind spots in our lives, cultural sins that we don't recognize and don't acknowledge and don't confess, help us with that, Father. Help us be men who want to be clean and transparent before You and each other. Help us be men who want to be honest and authentic and genuine and real, who don't have to run. I'm no longer a slave of sin. We sang it a minute ago. For Jesus has forgiven me. Jesus has set me free. And so, Lord, we want to pray that prayer every day in new and fresh ways. Help us to be men who confess our sin and humble ourselves before You, seeking Your righteousness, that the light, that we might be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, that we might be quick to forgive, slow to anger, and doing everything, Father, by faith in You. Make us those kind of men of God for such a time as this. We live in desperate times. Marriages are falling apart. Homes are falling apart. Our country's falling apart. There's corruptness and sin every direction. In the marketplace, in the halls of government, from the smallest city council to the Senate and House of Representatives in the Oval Office. But Lord, You're our only hope, and we look to You. Help us to look to You and get in Your presence so that we can know our sin. As David prayed, You're right when You judge me, for my sin is ever before me. And so, Lord, thank You for the recourse. Thank You that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, before we could clean ourselves up, You cleaned us up by dying on the cross for us while we were yet sinners. Thank You, God, for being such a great God. Thank You for a wonderful Savior in Christ. Thank You for His blood that cleanses us from sin. Give us heart of repentance so that we can be forgiven and joyful and grateful for a great God that we have and the great salvation we have in Jesus Christ. We're going out of here today joyful and thankful for who You are and what You're going to do and what You have done. We're thankful that You've given us assurance. I write You these things, brethren, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Help us help others get there, Lord. If we know Jesus, help us help others get to know Him too. Thank You for these men. Thank You for their hearts. Thank You for how I know they're taking this seriously. We want to be men of God for such a time as this. And if there's a man in here today that's not sure, that wants to settle it, I just pray that he'd pray that sinner's prayer with repentance and brokenness, realizing his need for a Savior, his need to be forgiven. Father, forgive that man for his sin today. If he prayed a prayer like this, Lord, I know I'm not the man you created me to be, but I want to be. I ask you to make me that man today. Forgive my sin and make me that man today. In Jesus' name, and all God's men said,
amen.
Get out there and give them heaven, guys.